Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. The general subject this month has been worship and continues to be in this edition. If you have a question about true worship, or if perhaps there's something else you'd like to talk about or discuss, give us a call right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742 for whatever you would like to talk about. It's Basic Gospel. And here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. I have always been fascinated. Now, that's not true. I wasn't fascinated at all until about 10 years ago by the book of Revelation. I grew up with Revelation and thought I knew everything there was to know about Revelation, and discovered that for the most part I was wrong, and I just put it away. And then grace began to dawn, and forgiveness and life and all the rest, and Revelation got interesting again.
Yeah.
Well, there is a part of Revelation that deals with worship in a way that is not covered anywhere else in the Bible. I'm going to take you through bits and pieces of chapters 4 and 5 as an introduction. This may go longer than most introductions because I can't help it.
Well, just fine.
So what we've got here in chapters 4 and 5 is the throne room in heaven, and John is invited up, and he gets to see all of this amazing, indescribable stuff. And he first talks about the throne itself and the one who is seated on it. Then in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, "Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads." So the center of the throne room, and if you think about the throne room, it's more of a spherical shape in our minds than it is just a regular old room. In the center of that throne is God himself, the throne room. And immediately around him are these 24 other thrones seated on by elders.
Right.
And we'll get to one of their jobs here in just a minute. But these are the people closest to God himself, right there, seated around him. And if we go down to verse 9, there's also these other four living creatures that have four heads and all these wings and eyes all over their bodies. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." In verse 9, it says, "Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" So one of the jobs, one of the results of sitting next to the main throne in the throne room, is that these other creatures say things about God, and these 24 elders can't help but fall before him and worship. Okay? It doesn't stop there. If we go over to chapter 5 and verse 8, chapter 5 is when John realizes that this being has come in and said, "Well, here's this little scroll."
Right.
Who's worthy to open this little scroll? It's got seven seals on it, and no one is worthy.
Yeah.
No one is worthy. And he's crying, and he's just, you know, and he finally sees this lamb looking as if it had been slain. And then in verse 9, starting in verse 8, actually, "And when he had taken it," that is the lamb, "the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." So apparently one of the jobs of the 24 elders is to hold the prayers of God's people. John sees it as bowls of incense. Obviously, it's not that, but it meant something to him. So these elders are like managing all of our prayers.
Wow.
You know, the Spirit translates, like Paul says in Romans 8, the elders collect this all somehow and bring it to the throne themselves. Okay, But here they are falling down again, and they, the four elder or the four living creatures and the 24 elders, sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Now, we've been talking about worship all month, and one of the things we've talked about worship is that the thing you worship or the being you worship is the thing or the being you will serve. And here we have the 24 elders and those four living creatures saying that, right? "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." So God has purchased us. And notice this takes away all the ideas of Jews and Gentiles,
sure,
as separate organizations, separate groups. Everybody is one. Every tribe and language and people and nation has been purchased for God. "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God." And so they carry our prayers, they define our worship, and then they fall down again. I mean, "That worthy is the Lamb who was slain," and all these creatures in heaven and on earth, they say, "To him be power." The four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. That's verse 14.
Yeah.
We've got 24 elders who are sitting literally next to God. They are not God. They're less than him, but they are right there. And the only thing they can do, and this isn't the only place in Revelation where this happens, they just constantly fall down and worship.
Right.
Well, how do you translate that into today's world?
Good luck with that.
We know it's going to happen eventually. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Whether that's good news for them or bad news for them, they're going to worship. Well, yesterday at our church, there's three different campuses of the church that I attend, and we had baptism yesterday.
Uh-huh, right.
157 people,
yeah,
were baptized.
Me. That is amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
51 were baptized at the campus that I attend. And because I was playing yesterday, I play keys and piano in our band, I got to play during baptism. So I'm right on stage about 15 feet from all these baptisms happening, and I'm watching it. And I'm playing along and just, you know, just trying to set a worshipful tone and a mood, and these people have stories, and they tell those stories, and those stories are just like the 24 elders.
Aye.
"With your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Mm-hmm. That was happening.
Wow.
Right there.
Before
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How can you not worship when you realize that the God of the universe, the God whose throne in heaven is so awesome that the 24 elders can't help but fall on their faces, he has taken up residence in his children, the God of the universe.
Yeah.
That is power.
Oh, my.
And by all rights, we should be snuffed out of existence. But we're not. Instead, we're made alive. That's why we worship. That's why we serve. Nothing else in this world matters a hill of beans compared to that.
You bet. Wow. Richard, thank you for sharing that. What a powerful, powerful way to begin this edition of Basic Gospel. I was speaking with the lady yesterday. Of course, we celebrated with Russell and Billy Rayburn yesterday, and I teasingly said to Russell, there were, what, probably 150, 200 people, maybe more there.
Yeah.
I said, "Too bad you don't have any friends."
Indeed.
But there was a lady that I had not seen for quite some time that approached me and reintroduced herself and said that she had just returned from a mission trip in Cambodia. And the bottom line of that is that in one one session, at one time, there were more than 11,000 people who prayed and received Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Things are happening worldwide.
Absolutely.
Just absolutely worldwide. We understand that in China there is an incredible evangelical movement.
Yeah.
Just tens of thousands at a time coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you say is happening all over America, I'm sure of it, America, mm-hmm. Canada, and all of the Western world as well. So,
yeah.
Wow, an exciting time.
Our God is not tame. He's on the move. We're going to win, folks, because Jesus already has.
Already has.
Already has.
Yeah. Richard, thank you. Friends, join the conversation. We want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of it. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this broadcast in the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, well, that's a live broadcast, and you can be a part of it. But you need to pick up that phone right now and join the conversation at 844-322-2742. You know, right in line with what we've been talking about, friends, we were made to worship God, to rejoice in His beauty, and that's what Richard has been talking about. It is not only is it an awesome thing, it is a beautiful thing, His goodness, His grace. But many people find themselves, unfortunately, drained of life because they've chosen to worship things that are wholly unworthy of their praise and worship. But here at Basic Gospel, we want to help you experience the joy of worship every day. How? Well, by sending you a copy of Bob Christopher's CD, Life After Therefore, that'll explain exactly how and why. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to help share this incredibly good news, the gospel, with people literally all over the world. And for your copy of Life After Therefore, just visit basicgospel.net and click donate. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. We want you to be a part of the blessing of supporting this message that's going out, as we said, through the internet, worldwide now. Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, speaking of our listeners, we had a call that came in on our overnight system from June, who lives in Pacific Grove, California, with her husband, Wayne. Let's hear that call right now.
Hi, just wanted to thank you for your great acknowledgement of the veterans, and your show was fabulous Friday. We really enjoyed it. It got us to thinking about the wives and the people that are caring for the veterans, the parents, the mates. I know in my own personal experience with Wayne, disabilities, which are results of being in the service, his will and his struggle to survive has made me a survivor. I know I'll go down fighting because of him, and that's not my makeup, along with what I've learned as far as in Christianity. But it took courage that he taught me, in a sense, to love him through some things, and it's going to take that courage for a lot of these young people that are involved in it now. And I know that verse on Romans 12, 1 and 2, if they just surrender their lives to be not conformed but be transformed by the renewal of their minds, that is the only answer to getting through this. So thank you for that great acknowledgement that you give, and this new campaign is fabulous. The veterans are all surrounding us here, the old Fort Ord, the retirement villages and that, and they really do need to talk to someone about what's going on. In most cases, medication that they need. It'll take years and years to get over what they've gone through. So just love you all. Thank you for what you did for the veterans and will do. And your show is fabulous. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, June, for your call. Yeah. Sweet call. And you know what she says about the veterans is so, so true. We've talked about it last week and the week before. And We have reached out to quite a number of veterans through the program that we initiated, but there's still many more that need to hear this good news. And friends, if you have a veteran who is a friend, family member, we encourage you to drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call overnight 844-322-2742, and you can leave a message and give us that information, 844-322-2742. That's the same number that you can call right now to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Davis. Bob Christopher is away on another assignment at this particular time, but we want you to come in and be a part of this one. 844-322-2742, a powerful introduction that Richard gave from the book of Revelation concerning true worship. And we want, again, 844-322-2742. Just very quickly, at Basic Gospel, we do invite you to experience Life After Therefore. That's the title of Bob Christopher's new CD, and we want you to have the experience, the joy of true worship every day by sending you a copy. Worshiping Christ means sharing with others the life, joy, and purpose that he gives you. Bob C.D. explains how to make yourself available to Jesus so that his love and grace can transform your life and the lives of those around you. It's our gift to you this month as a way of saying thanks for your donation to reach out to others. You can get yours by simply clicking donate at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, Richard had a question from Maria. She says, okay, I know that Christ died for all my sins, past, present, and future. So what do you call it when someone chooses to or chooses the desires of the flesh? I know that I fall every day short of the glory of God, but when a pastor is in the pulpit stating that we are sinners, I don't agree. My spirit tells me, no, you are a perfect child of Christ. Explain the situation to me, please.
Oh, boy. That's actually a really good question because, I mean, for example, John in his first letter tells us that we are done with sin. How is this possible? You know, the reality is there is the root cause of sin, and then there are the results of that root cause. The root cause of sin fundamentally is unbelief. Goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were told, you really don't need to know about good and evil. Avoid that tree. God asked them, because of course there was no such thing as good and evil. There was no sin in their lives. They lived in a perfect, innocent state. He asked them by faith to trust him that they didn't need to know about that, that they didn't need that knowledge to be better people. Satan, of course, came to them and said, God's holding out on you.
Yeah.
Of course you need to know about that stuff, and the reason he doesn't want you to know about it is because as soon as you know about it, you'll be like God, and he can't stand that. He'll be jealous. Part of Satan's statement was true, because at the very end of that story, when they're thrown out of the garden, God says they've now become like us, knowing good and evil. So we can't allow them to live forever, so we cut off access to the tree of life. So the problem with humans knowing good and evil is that we are created beings. Therefore, as much as we know about it, we can't do anything about it. Only God has the power to deal with good and evil. Mm-hmm. That's why he didn't want us to know. It was not something that he wasn't holding out on us. He was protecting us. So the root cause of sin is that unbelief. I choose to disbelieve God. I don't trust him. I won't worship him. I won't serve him. I'll do it on my own. And there's the root cause.
Yeah.
Now, from that root cause comes all of the rest of it, the adultery, the murder, the cursing and swearing, stealing, disrespecting your parents, ruining the environment, you know, governments that rise and fall and businesses that rise and fall. Pretty much just take a look around you. There are the results of unbelief.
Right.
But unbelief is the cause. So when John says you are done with sin, you no longer sin, what he is saying is for the child of God, we have made that once and for all decision to believe God. And as soon as we've made that decision and accepted Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us.
Yeah.
Never again will we be separated from God like we were before, like we just were talking about in Revelation. Who was worthy to open that scroll, to open those seven seals? Only Jesus was, because he had died and he rose again and he's coming again. He is already victorious because he is God. He did something that you and I couldn't do. So when we've accepted him, his victory is ours. From an unbelief point of view, we're done.
Yeah.
Never again will we be unbelievers. Well, now what do we do? Well, we haven't been totally restored yet. That's not going to happen until the very end when Jesus comes back. The last trump, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised in Christ, those who are alive and remain will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. All of this flesh that's hanging on us, all of the propensity to sin that we were born with is going to be wiped out in a flash. In the meantime, we get to live in the now and the not yet. right now, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of me as he does in every child of God. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ are that way. So that part of sin is dealt with, but we still have the desires of the flesh, as Paul describes in Galatians 5. There's no need to give in to those desires of the flesh. He didn't say that the desires would go away. He said there's no need to give in.
Right.
So the argument now is between the Spirit inside of us saying, Richard, you don't need to do this. You don't need to know about good and evil. And I can say yes to that, or I can give in to the desires of the flesh. And so if a pastor is standing in the pulpit saying, we're just all sinners, part of that is right, part of it is wrong. If he's saying, I know that you've already believed in Jesus Christ, but you're going to wrestle with sin, that's correct. If he's saying, regardless of whether you believe or not, you're a sinner, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Because we have been cleansed. We have been set free. We have been declared righteous. We have been justified. We've been forgiven. We've all of those things. We wouldn't be able to have God living inside of us without turning us to ash if he hadn't dealt once and for all with sin and blessed us with the gift of forgiveness and the equivalent gift of eternal life.
Right.
And so, although we're done with sin, we will still wrestle with the flesh, and when we take our eyes off of Jesus, that is, we stop walking by faith, there's a good chance that we'll fall into something. And that something could be as good-looking as pride. Pride never looks bad.
Yeah.
Pride always looks good. And the thing I like to tell people, because it twists your brain so much, if I, as a minister of the gospel, and that's what my job is, I'm an ordained minister of the gospel, if I brought 10 million people to Jesus in my own strength, not by faith, but by my own skill, by my own oratorical ability, by my own learning, all of them would be saved. And it would mean nothing to me.
Switches and ashes for you.
Yeah. It would mean nothing for me because I did it in my own strength.
Right.
Far better to bring one person to Christ by faith than 10 million, I mean, for personal benefit,
sure.
One by faith than 10 million by works.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the problem that so many pastors face, is they've been driven into this performance mentality. All they've got is, we better all be sinners, and we better all ask for forgiveness, because then maybe somebody will ask enough forgiveness to be saved eventually.
Yeah.
No, talk about the power of God. He forgave you at the cross. You accept and receive that forgiveness when you accept and receive Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus that we're forgiven. It's in Jesus that we're made alive. All the rest of this stuff is just so much garbage that we wade through day after day after day. Let Jesus be Jesus. Let him change your life. Worship him only. That's the only thing that makes sense in all of life. Right now, today, do it.
Absolutely. Richard, thank you for that powerful message. We really appreciate it. Maria, thank you for the question. You know, friends, there are several important aspects to the successful delivery of the message of Basic Gospel that it delivers every day. First is the message itself. Second is a need for the message. It needs to find receptive audiences. Third is a person or people to give or teach the message. And fourth is for media through which the message can be sent. Of course, there's much more than just this. But the truth is that without funding to pay for all these things, the message can't be broadcast or streamed. That's the reason that we come to you to ask your support to make sure the message of God's love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ continues to be available to those eager to hear it. We need your help to ensure the message continues to be available through Basic Gospel, and we ask your help today with a generous gift, the most generous gift that you can possibly give. Click donate at basicgospel.net to help today, and we will send you a copy, of course, of Bob Christopher's CD series, Life After Therefore, to help you experience the joy of true worship every day. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Richard especially, thank you for the powerful message that you began this broadcast with. Well, for all of us and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.